You're listening to DraftKings Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
We will get to all the many ways that Mike Ryan is wrong about Ozark in a second. But I want to call Chris Cody to the microphone
to
here.
To the stand?
Well, this,
raise my right hand.
You've enjoyed how dumb the boxing and mixed martial arts spectacle has become. You've enjoyed the Pauls. You've enjoyed this distortion of just have it be entertaining and I don't care if the fights are actually good. Just give me fame and entertainment, throw in some Snoop Dogg, and I'll enjoy myself with my boxing. But now, in the lowest base of cashing in at the end of the meteor that Conor McGregor rode, where his mouth brought him great riches as a superstar in the fighting sports, he is saying of Jorge Masvidal, he is calling him an absolute pigeon brain. This guy is stupid beyond belief, is what Conor McGregor is saying. And Masvidal is saying, come up to my weight class, I'll break your face. And I don't want to watch these two. And I'm going to end up on the wrong end of this because you guys want to watch these two at the end of Masvidal's run here as he continues to lose fights. You guys want him to fight Conor McGregor, who's only lost fights recently as well.
Why would you not want to see that, Dan?
Yeah.
I'm confused. You see two guys that are stand-up all-timers throwing hands. You know that fight's not going to go to the ground whatsoever. It's going to be a stand-up haymaker fight.
Okay, but he's saying recently here? They're both losers is what he's saying.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
Yeah, but matchups right. make styles make fights.
Exactly.
I agree with you guys.
The build-up to that fight would be second to none.
Oh, my God.
And the fight, I think, would actually deliver. Someone's getting knocked out, yeah. Probably. Masvidal's chin, I mean, he's taken a lot of beatings over the years. He's a big-time veteran. His chin is finally starting to be called into question, even though it was something of a legend. I would love to see that fight.
But Conor going up in weight class hasn't proved good for him. He's always been good fighting at a lighter weight. And for Masvidal to come in and Conor to be like, oh, I'm going to go up to 150 for 170. And
I don't even know if it's possible for Masvidal to go down either at this point.
He can't.
I mean, it's a stuff of legend.
He's always called him too small. Masvidal has always called McGregor, he's even calling him a little man now. I'm surprised you guys are falling for this again, though. This will be a payday, but it's the only reason these two are doing this. And McGregor's doing it in the laziest way possible. This is one of the greatest talkers of all time. an absolute pigeon brain. This guy is stupid beyond belief. He's not even trying. It's just the easiest of flabby jab engagements of, come here, bring me this lazy fat man Elvis at the end of my career fight because I'm going to be Masvidal, who's waiting for one of the Diaz brothers to show up because we just want these guys to stand up no matter how nostalgic the garbage is.
They're two bankable box office fighters still. To this day, it's been a while since we've seen Conor out there, but Masvidal still puts up numbers. And honestly, there hasn't. Yeah, he's caught some L's, but he hasn't been favored in any of these fights that he's caught the L's in. He's taken the fight. He's taken the payday, but he's taken the fights in really odd situations for him to turn them around. That Fighters Island match, he had no shot at, and he just ran into a much better fighter in the last. There's no shame in losing to Usman.
None. But losing to Usman that way the second time, there's shame in it. Don't tell me there's not.
That was
the
actually knockout? Do you remember that fight? That fight wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't.
No, the knockout, though, after he said he's got no punching power, after he'd come out a decorated champion and said the guy's got no punching power, and then he's a meme where a constellation of sweat is around him because he's been knocked out while he's still standing there.
Yeah, Usman, late in his career, has found his punching power in the middle of a fight, actually, against Burns. He found his punching power, and that was a good fight. No shame in losing to Usman. I think Masvidal at this point against McGregor, I'm not even sure how to handicap that. I think the weight class does matter. I would absolutely love to see
that
fight.
Can I stop you for a second, though, on no shame? There was shame. Don't tell me there was no shame on the way he lost.
You can't get shamed in knocking out. Like, everybody gets knocked out.
But you're losing arguably the pound-for-pound best. There's no shame in that.
But no, the reason that there is shame in it, it's not because I want to arrive here and flog Masvidal. When Pacquiao gets knocked out that way, face first, becoming an internet meme, it is said that you do not just get up and have the same chin and confidence after that. It is said of people who do the spectacle much better and braver than we are, that when there is the shame involved of, I'm always afraid, my hands are never down, I'm Jorge Masvidal, I never go out on my back, you guys know me to be a grinder who's got a story unlike anyone in the sport, because I'll stand up there and bang, and you respect me because I don't go out on my back. He was knocked out in a way that made the world laugh at his big mouth, and some people are never the same after that.
Yeah, but he fought Colby Covington after that, and he didn't get knocked out. He lost in the fashion that everybody thought he would lose, and that was a monster pay-per-view. Again, Jorge Masvidal hasn't lost to somebody that he's been a favorite entering the fight. He's losing fights he's supposed to lose. So if he goes in there against one of the other great talkers in the sport, it's going to be a monster pay-per-view if they ever fight together. And honestly, both of these fighters need a dub to continue going on. And if they don't get the dub, they might as well catch a monster payday on the way out. And
that's a fight to continue, huh?
This is a huge payday. Yeah. This is the most logical fight that the UFC has on its deck.
I would watch it. It would get me, and I haven't watched a fight in forever, but I would watch that fight. I mean, Dan, it's like you would watch Tyson and Holyfield, would you not? People would be excited by that.
I understand the spectacle of it. I always fall into this trap, though, Stugatz, when I make fun of the Jake Paul, when Jim Lampley cries through tears, loves boxing so much, that doesn't like the distortions in it. I'm not saying that Conor McGregor and Masvidal standing there slapping each other isn't spectacle as event talkers who will sell a fight. I'm just saying as a fight, Usman is dragged. He's dragged Masvidal. Like, this is not the height of the division. It's just the biggest mouths who are willing to stand up. It's not the top of the division anymore.
But his last three losses have come to the top of the division. Who has he lost to that's embarrassing for him? He got knocked out, but he's taking fights that he shouldn't be winning.
He's older, Mike. He's an older fighter coming off an Usman knockout. Again, a guy not said to have any punching power. And Covington can be reinvented as one of the top fighters. It's a former sparring mate of his that he once dominated, who is clearly better than him on the ground. And you're just ignoring that Masvidal's an old fighter?
I'm not ignoring that. Masvidal's at the end of his career, and what a career it's been. One of the great stories, what he turned himself into, and now he's due to make a gigantic payday. He talked himself and earned the opportunities to fight the top guys. There's no shame in being third best in your weight class, man. He may be third by a lot, but he's still third in his weight class, and if he can get a monster payday and kick Conor McGregor's ass in the name of all Hispanics out there, I would love to see that fight.
To Dan's point, though, after the Usman knockout with George, it was like he kept waiting for Colby to throw a punch that was going to knock him out. So that's why he never went in actually trying to go after him and try to knock his head off, because he knew once Colby gets him in his grips, he's going to take him down and the fight's going to be over. So he was almost hesitant trying to put his face in there to see if Colby would throw a punch.
But great strikers in that sport, Dan and Tony, great strikers in that sport often have the dirt thrown on their grave. And it's because they run into matchup problems and other great fighters of their day. How many times have we seen this with Arlovsky, that he comes back out of nowhere because he's got one of the great punches in the sport every time
Arlovsky.
Someone...
Even more so. How about Tyson Fury?
Yeah.
Dan, tell me you wouldn't see Francis Ngannou versus Tyson Fury.
You have a guy that's hard to kill in Jorge Masvidal. You have a matchup that actually plays into Jorge Masvidal's strengths, such that they are at this point in his career in Conor McGregor. I actually have more questions about Conor McGregor in the octagon than I do.
My point is on both of them. Like, you keep seizing on
them. Yeah, but that's selling a fight.
But you keep seizing on the Masvidal portion of this, and all I'm saying is, on merit, this ain't the best fight. It's just the two names. It's fame fight. It's a fame fight and a mouth fight and a style fight.
It's a good fight.
But I'm there for it.
But it's not the best in their sport.
But you're arguing you want to see... You'll see Covington and Usman. You can see the best in their sport.
Or Khamzat.
Yeah, UFC does a great job in giving you that. But you have two ultra-famous personalities. Guys whose mouths somehow outshine their greatness in the octagon, and they're plenty great. And you have... A fighting style in both fighters that plays into both of their strengths. You're going to have haymakers thrown. You're going to have an exciting fight.
Does anybody want to see wrestling in UFC?
No.
No, we want to see stand-up fighters.
You want to see this fight. This is a fight that you actually want to see. You're doing the thing because it's not...
You're trying to rob us of it?
It's not just Usman and Covington rolling around on the ground.
What are you trying to do?
Yeah, huh? What are you trying to do?
I know I've said enough. Yeah. I rest my case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good case.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Explain yourself.
He doesn't want to see the circus of McGregor because he loves the sport of grappling.
Watch Greco-Roman wrestling,
Dan. I want Greco-style Roman wrestling is what I long for.
You want Masvidal just going on his back as soon as the...
You want like high school wrestling where they start on like, you know, all fours.
There's plenty of that for you.
Like, good angle.
It's a circus. Yeah. You haven't seen that meme, jiu-jitsu guys, when a robber breaks into their home and it's just them automatically going to their back? Come on, man. Like, McGregor, Masvidal, who doesn't want to see that? It's going to bring out the worst in us. I love it. Yeah, I defy you to not have a watch party. Come on. Yep. Doesn't want to see Masvidal, McGregor.
Because I don't want to pay for it.
Hell out of here.
What's wrong with fun?
It's plenty. There's nothing wrong with fun, Billy. I imagine this is the UFC fight to get Billy to be serious about the mixed
I already
fight.
Ordered it.
Wow.
Is that bigger than John Jones and Stipe?
Who? No.
No, Miocic at this point in his career. I mean,
just seeing John Jones in a UFC octagon would be huge. That would be one of the biggest sellers of all time.
That's what it is.
Yep.
Billy, what
not
do you think?
Not in jail.
Nah. I don't want that one.
Okay, thank you, Billy, for all your
When's
MMA
Mayweather McGregor
2
that we yes, have now That's we're talking. Right
now we're cooking with gas. What that means.
That was a good boxing match because you thought that Conor was going to win that one in the first two or three rounds, did you not?
No.
You thought there was a chance. How about Nick Saban versus Jimbo Fisher in a boxing match?
Ooh.
Are they shirtless?
Sure.
Aren't they meeting somewhere here? Don't they have like a media day right as we speak? Aren't they meeting at Mount Olympus at the?
Might have been earlier this week. I don't know.
I think Destin, Florida, is Mount Olympus to the SEC.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, please. Is Destin, Florida, Mount Olympus to the SEC?
You want Rulon Gardner to fight, don't you?
That's right.
I mean, yeah.
Yes.
Only wrestler I can name.
I think Kurt this Angle. Segment needed someone. It needed someone to present the other side because, yes, these are two fighters that
I'm longing for the days of Alexander Karelin. Yes, going up against
Karelin's a great. Yes.
I maintained at one point that Alexander Karelin was greater at what he did than anyone in any part of the world was at what they did. And what he did was Greco-Roman style wrestling. And I find myself longing for a bear of a man who can just go after this Cain Velasquez or Brock Lesnar or any of these people shoulder first and just grapple them to the ground, hairy bear-like, and no one can out-grapple a Russian decade dominator like Alexander Karelin.
The last time this show talked any mixed martial arts was Covington Masvidal. Yeah. There have been plenty of cards.
Great fights, by the way.
That apparently Dan's been clamoring for that he hasn't paid any attention to. on this platform. But guess what he's coming to the table? The nuts. He's coming to the table with the nuts in Masvidal McGregor. Just the hope that Masvidal McGregor will be out there. Ooh, I don't want to see it, but I sure as f*** want to talk about it.
That's right.
Ooh, yeah.
Dan, guest host on the MMA Hangout that day?
Yeah,
or
you coming by. Yeah.
Wow.
Hang out with the boys?
Also guest. Yes.
What an invite.
Stugatz, I don't know if you noticed this week, but ESPN has hired, as part of its NBA coverage, a guy I think I would argue you discovered on Stupidity. Your relationship with C.J. McCollum was something that made it clear to C.J. McCollum that he wanted to go into podcasts, he wanted to go into this business, he wanted to be a broadcaster. Now, ESPN has an active player. As some of these guys see Stugatz, the Tom Brady money, and some of these guys prepare for a career after basketball, C.J. McCollum is going to be the rare guy who's like, well, wait a minute. If Tim Legler can be the guy analyzing basketball for 25 years because he showed up here after his playing days, what happens if I get in the door here while I'm still playing?
Right. It's kind of like Ryan Clark. He did that while he was still playing in the NFL for ESPN. CJ, he said he went to college not only to play basketball, obviously, but he was a broadcast journalist major. So I think he always knew this was something he wanted to do, and now he's doing it at ESPN. I think it's a smart move. He's really, really good at it. He's obviously connected to today's players.
Is he going
to
criticize anybody? Because Draymond,
I don't know.
Well, let's talk about this for a second, because Patrick Beverley just went on ESPN and auditioned. And there are going to be broadcasting jobs here as Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson do a post-retirement podcast, or Knuckleheads does a post-retirement. J.J. Redick was doing this while playing. And now C.J. McCollum is saying, wait, sign me up over there at ESPN. I'm going to analyze finals games, and I've been doing some broadcasting.
He has, for ESPN. I saw him 4 years ago during the summer, and I thought he was really good.
Yes.
The NBA Finals would be a weird place to criticize other players, considering that it's the two best teams. I haven't seen anything that would make me believe that he's going to be dishonest or withhold stuff.
The reason I asked the question is this, because as these athletes compete for this space and this money, the same way they compete for all things, the style of broadcaster is going to matter. Are you Patrick Beverley, someone who shows up on First Take and says things? Are you C.J. McCollum, who will wear a suit and tie, Stugatz, and will not be talking on behalf of the league with a league partner the way Patrick Beverley is? As you try to spice up the show and bring the next generation of broadcasters here, you've tried some Tracy McGrady over here, you've tried some Scottie Pippen over there. Who's going to be the next voice at ESPN through the players that becomes a broadcasting person? And what does that person have to do? What does that person have to say to become a star? Because I thought Patrick Beverley became a broadcasting star who they can't hire with what he did. A broadcasting star who's like, somebody will hire that,
right?
But not, it will not be league partner ESPN that hires that. Maybe it will be. Maybe it'll be Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they employ Kendrick Perkins, who's actively looking for fights on social media. Patrick Beverley is just an extension of that. I think C.J. McCollum will be honest. What do you think? Well, you know how he introduced everybody to Pelican C.J. McCollum? He aired dirty laundry about Zion. Yeah, no, so I haven't been texted.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to. What is in it for him? He just gave his team a headache, came out with it.
I think what you'll find with CJ is he knows the game obviously very well. I think he will say stuff. He doesn't take himself seriously. He's got a great sense of humor. He doesn't mind going off sports at all. In fact, he prefers it at times. And yeah, I do think I've had him on two or three times. I think he'll be critical of certain players. Patrick Beverley critical? Probably not. A more measured approach, I would say.
Stugatz, this is what I'm requesting. As I know the audience, it's funny because I fell into this swamp here where people were thinking that I was being anti-Tom Brady because I was just left in awe of the idea of paying something for someone who hasn't proven that they can do or be good as a job. But you need that person as a bridge to tomorrow's fans, and I understand that. In the framing of the game with your league partners, as tomorrow's Leglers make an appearance, the people who will teach your kids about the sport, as C.J. McCollum vies for a space here, there aren't that many jobs, Stugatz, and while he's playing, he's like, wait a minute, where's the opening for me at ESPN or elsewhere so that 5 years from now, if my playing days are done, I've already established my name because I have built the bridge. Grant Hill, Stugatz, is still doing color commentary. There's right. a new space where these guys can have some freedom to be themselves and not torch the bridge the way Paul Pierce torched it by not behaving on social media. And the reason I'm bringing it up to you guys is I'm like, woo, CJ McCollum, that's a pretty good face and voice for a league right there. Like, if I want somebody to help me just be broadcaster guy, interesting, fun, spice up coverage at ESPN. They haven't built a lot of stars at ESPN the way that TNT has.
And someone who's wanted to do this his entire life. Like, he is a student of broadcasting. He knew he wanted to do this after his playing career
who's
or during
better,
it.
CJ or Draymond, right? Like, what style do you want? With your coverage, how dangerous do you want it to be? Is TNT now going to be buttoned? Is TNT with Draymond going to be less buttoned up than ESPN with CJ McCollum? And when the shows transition, because Barkley's going to be 60, man. Like, these shows got to get younger.
Barkley has said openly that he's not going to re-sign. He's going to hang him up.
Who's next? Is
Draymond's next. For Draymond's TNT, next. For the sale yes. of what they're doing.
For Draymond. All of it, though, is what I'm saying. As people come into it, J.J. Redick has just made...
Yeah, J.J. Redick's become a star. He's mm-hmm. become a star using ESPN's platform very well.
Are you asking me if CJ is going to become a star, media star?
No, really...
Because I think he will.
It's not even a question. I'm sort of wondering with you guys and trying to talk out the, hey, what do you want this to look like over the next 15 years? Because we're going to start making some of the choices. Brady and Buck and Al Michaels, like these 80-year-old and 70-year-old people, we're going to make choices on who ushers in as a voice the next generation of fans. Drew Brees is getting weeded out very quickly. And so I'm asking you, who do you want these people to look like?
I want them to look like and be like CJ McCollum, a guy who's still in the league. Even after he retires, will still have connections in the league. It'll be interesting to see if he takes out people that he played with, played against, that are friends with him. If he has to. So a guy who's kind of connected to today's game, even though he's a couple of years removed from today's game once he retires. That's the kind of person I'm looking for because I know him to be honest. So I think he'll dish on certain things. And so I think he'll be great at it. Like, that's the kind of person I'm looking for. Barkley's gotten too far away from the game. When you're 60, you're a bit far away from the game. Draymond's going to be excellent at it. I think CJ will be good as well.
For the first time maybe ever, I'm bullish on what's coming for ESPN's NBA coverage. Look, the pregame show, you know what you're getting with Greeny, Wilbon, Stephen A. Smith, and Jalen. You've seen that movie dozens of times. They're going back to the Wilbon well. They're forcing Mike Greenberg in here, as they have in a lot of productions, just because they have to justify his salary. They have exciting new personalities in Malika, in J.J. Redick, in Patrick Beverley, if they want to continue going then and they want their one loudmouth. Yes, ESPN's approach is a little bit more buttoned up. That's fine. It just hasn't been good enough. If you want to give me a more buttoned up, polished broadcast, ESPN does that plenty fine with college football, and it's tremendous. So I want to see just an improvement on the personalities. And I think you're seeing a very obvious changing of the guard building at ESPN. Turner, they have their succession plan already built in with Draymond Green. He is the guy, he is most similar to Charles Barkley in playing style, size, and mouth. So he is a perfect fit over there. And on their Tuesday night, they've kind of implemented this farm system. Turner absolutely owns that sector. They brought it over. They replicated the formula for their hockey coverage. And while I can concede the ESPN hockey studio shows are good, I still prefer Turner. They know the formula and how to make it work. Turner knows where their bread is buttered, and they have the perfect guy to replace Charles and Draymond.
They really do. CJ's the president of the NBAPA. Like, it's going to be interesting to see how he uses this platform to help the players, to help himself, you know?
I don't know what CJ McCollum is about. I just, to me, spiritually, and I don't know if McCollum's going to rise up to whatever the position he has ambitions for, but you don't see a lot of this. A guy who's a borderline all-star saying, nope, I'm going to choose a broadcasting career here because I'm watching what's happening 4 or 5 years from now. This is a good place for me to make a mark. But CJ McCollum comes from broadcasting school. Draymond Green very much does not. And spiritually, stylistically, as the studio shows change to whatever the future of the personalities are, I don't know if CJ McCollum is going to tighten up his tie and be broadcaster man because of some idea that he has of what broadcaster school is. I don't think so. I like his personality. He is fun and light.
Right.
But it takes more than that to be good at these jobs. And indisputably, nobody listening within the sound of my voice thinks that Draymond Green's going to be bad at that job. Nobody listening to this. Not one person listening to this thinks Draymond Green's going to be bad at that job.
You're right. But we all thought Shaq was going to be great at this job. And he hasn't been great.
But Shaq,
he's been okay.
Shaq could mumble, not Draymond Green. We are all in agreement. Draymond Green is going to be a loudmouth.
Yes.
Never in human recorded history has someone for consecutive weeks been so passionate and opinionated on broadcasting that has all the broadcasts on mute, quite like Dan Le Batard. It is a fascinating niche he's carved out for himself.
It's a great point. No one is more interested.
There is no one that has ever been more interested in broadcasting that it has affected less than Dan Le Batard.
I really don't care what CJ or Draymond have to say about anything.
I know you don't.
You don't.
On anything.
I don't think any of us do.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, plus add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day, no contracts to worry about, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Keeping things bottled up can feel like carrying a weight that gets heavier with time. Whether it's talking to a trusted friend, journaling, or seeking professional help, finding ways to let out your thoughts and feelings can bring relief and help you navigate challenges more effectively. Remember, it's okay to reach out for help when you need it. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DLB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DLB.
Don Le Batard.
Mike Marty Schottenheimer passed away.
Stu Gatz.
Why do you sound so happy?
How did you say that?
Yeah, you're very excited.
I was wrong tone.
I was not excited.
What happened?
Unbelievable. I was merely pointing out that a Browns legend had passed away.
Hold on. That was unbelievable.
Hey, guys. Marty Schottenheimer died.
Hold on.
And maybe the greatest coach to never win a Super Bowl.
Okay, wait a minute. Let's just settle down.
Do you hear?
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stu Gatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
I'm really concerned because Ron McGill didn't make his appearance this week, and he said it's because he was going into emergency sea turtle surgery. But I really do believe that Chris Cody betrayed Ron McGill. He videotaped Ron McGill at the most recent Heat game, sort of getting testy. This is an ambassador for the zoo and somebody who's got a public face, and he was getting testy at concessions because his service was poor. And Chris Cody not only documented this, but embarrassed and shamed him without telling him, and still doesn't know if Ron McGill is enraged. Am I missing any details here?
Well, my intentions were just to narrate him as if I was seeing him in the wild. I saw him in line, so I'm like, it'd be funny if I
got him like an animal documentary. And then as I'm doing it, my intentions there are just to be like, look, it's a Ron McGill getting his water. But then it just turned out he got poor service. First, he was very patient. And then it turned in, he was always very respectful. He was always and then he was talking to a manager, and then he was flailing arms looking back. And I was just like, it wrote itself. I didn't come up with the bit of let's get Ron. And then I edited it together, and I was like, and I sent it to the social team. And I'm just like, look, I know this could be iffy, but we know Ron well. It's not that bad of a look. I used my judgment, which sometimes can be a little off.
Well, what's the iffy part? That you didn't ask Ron if you could film him?
I did not ask Ron.
That's such a, Chris, you have in your past a pretty high-profile instance of this happening. We're not going to take it to air.
We've talked about it. Yeah, we talked about it like 2 weeks ago. Yeah, well, Craig Minervini.
Yeah, where you recorded Craig Minervini without his permission, and he properly got pissed.
It was a picture. This was like my first.
How do you do this?
This is a different. No, these are way different.
He also told us he had learned from that and wouldn't do it again.
No, listen. Oh, like 2 weeks different. Ago. First of all, I did learn from it. There was a whole. I sent the text. I sent it to a lot of people beforehand.
Wait a minute.
I don't want to say. I asked Dan. I asked Ryan Cortez. I was like, hey, guys, should we air this? And everyone was like, it's harmless. It's funny. Let's air it. It's not the same exact. That one with Craig Minervini, I was like 2 weeks into this job. That was a dumb. I should not have done that. That was me legitimately. Like, I don't know Craig Minervini. I would not have done this if it was someone I didn't know.
The lapse in judgment isn't going through protocol and running it by. That does show growth and that you've learned from Minervini. The fact that you recorded it in the first place without someone's permission
is
a troubling trend for
you. I'm at the Heat game to get content. I see Ron McGill. Me getting Ron McGill in the wild narrating like an animal video because Ron's an animal guy, that's funny. That's harmless. Like, that's what I'm there to do.
You did not expect that Ron McGill would lash out and be...
He still hasn't.
He...
We don't know if he's upset about it.
Well, no, but he lashed out in that moment. You cannot agree. You would assume that if Ron McGill does apply your sensibilities and say it's fine, no problem. But if Ron McGill is also offended as an ambassador of the zoo, Chris Cody, how could you betray me? That was an embarrassing moment for me. I lost my temper.
I would say I'm sorry. I apologize. I thought that it was harmless enough. And I was wrong.
But now he's lost his job, and he's no longer working at the zoo. He's fallen on hard times. He can't put up the Christmas decorations he told us he loves putting up so much. Not the inflatables. We know he doesn't like those. But the Christmas decorations that he has there, he has to start selling some of those artifacts in his office that he has behind him that he's so proud of, all because of this video.
If Ron gets fired, Dan will hire him and give him a raise.
As once again, you applying your own prism.
Wow. You just think he does that for everyone, huh?
You're an exception to the rule. That's not usually how it works out for folks.
I have a question, and I don't mean to take this to a dark place or make light of this.
Mm-hmm.
What if Ron would have murdered that person?
I wouldn't have aired the video.
Continued? Would you have? Well, that's really the dilemma.
You would commit another crime by being an accessory to helping Ron McGill. Did you just confess that your judgment may have been poor in this one instance, but if Ron McGill did indeed murder someone and you were the only one who got it on video, you would then cover up the murder for Ron McGill? Is that what you said?
I'm a good friend.
Mm-hmm. I'd sell it.
Look, the content wrote itself there. That's just a funny thing of
Selenate.
Me happened to be. What are the chances that I'm spying on Ron McGill for this interaction where I believe he bought 4 waters? So I don't know why it took so long to get it. And he was honestly respectful. There's nothing he's doing wrong. He's a normal human that's like, hey, where's my
image.
Water?
You could have shattered his image.
I think I humanized him.
His image by shooting him from behind.
Yeah, that was honestly what he...
That's a betrayal.
That's what I was most worried about.
Betrayal.
Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone has their breaking point. Even the great Ron McGill. Everyone has, right? You're rushing. You're trying to get back to the game. You paid a lot of money for tickets. You want to get back to your seats. I mean, everyone's got it.
It was an hour before the game.
Did he know that?
He showed up that early?
He was there oddly early.
Oh, wow.
He left that game muttering about free throws. He was so pissed. He was so pissed. Well, he didn't know. He didn't know whether he had been
I've been checking his Twitter account every hour to see if he's like responding to this video.
Yes, because what you did, I believe, again, is not only illegal, but felonious. I believe.
Content first, man.
Because he was muttering about free throws, you thought we were good. He still didn't know that you had filmed him.
We're not sure he knows yet.
We posted it before the game.
I shouldn't have to tell you this. You should know, but please don't ever record me without my knowledge prior to.
Right. I would only do it with someone I know.
This is a request.
Does that make it better?
I feel like you've done it to me
before.
Look
at me. I'm requesting of you. Don't do this thing
Chris
to me.
Cody.
I will press charges.
This is proof positive. Chris, you and your father, you are becoming your father a little more every every day, your father would win a bunch of money gambling with Boog Shambi and then put it in a blog so that Boog Shambi could be taxed, because your father would betray people and not understand why they would get mad, because he'd be like, what? I know you. We know each other. We know what?
Yeah, slightly different.
Well, is it?
I didn't video him at a strip club.
Ron McGill has never been seen publicly angry.
That's why I'm humanizing him.
Right.
Hmm.
Ron McGill cannot be seen publicly as ambassador for the zoo dressing down concessions. It's a bad look.
This is why Batman took the fall for Harvey Dent. Ron McGill is Miami-Dade's white knight. We need him to run for office. We need him to save politics as we know it. Bill, and you just out there, you went out there and you put out a slanderous video of former...
No, see, Billy Corbin... Billy Corbin retweeted that video and was like, see, man of the people, he'll fight for you. He will not just sit by and get bad service. He will say, no, 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 I need to get my water quicker. He was not he was not being mean to these people. He was there for like 7 minutes waiting for four waters. So he was just kindly like, come on, where's my stuff?
Cheap political spin from Billy Corbin.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Really is.
One would assume that Ron McGill is always doing the right thing publicly, correct? That's why.
Maybe not. Yeah. Maybe Chris has kind of shown us the underbelly of the beast. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
What's wrong about complaining about water? I mean, he ordered four waters. It was taken forever. He's a human, no? I mean, he complained about it.
He is human.
He is human, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Mike, I don't understand why it is that you have chosen to be the one blaspheming against Ozark. Now, I must tell you and the audience that the way that I've consumed this, I believe, is unlike anything I've ever consumed before in streaming, because I really do love this show, and I've thought that this show is, you know, right up there with Succession on some of the best television that was made over the last 3 or 4 years. I've been waiting for it to come out. I was disappointed when I heard that this last run of episodes was going to be the last two seasons, and now it's disappearing. Ozark is going to be finished. And these last 14 episodes I've taken very slowly because I've wanted to enjoy the tension of all of this building. I think the acting is great. The writing is great.
What do you mean by slowly? Like you're watching one a week? Like how are you doing this?
I'm just savoring them, yes. And I'm not just binging through them, but I'm at the last two now. Everything is escalated and things are getting a little more and more unreasonable. As this aspires to be the new Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul or some of the best television that's made. It's like a poor man's version of those things, but it's still very good. It's an homage, it's a ripoff, and I love seeing the acting. The acting is really great, except for Wendy Bird's father, who doesn't seem to be of age as the preacher man to be old enough to be her father.
Oh, he acts his ass off in one scene. You haven't seen the second to last episode.
I have not. Ben,
ass is totally off.
I thought Ben acted his ass off, too, as the brother. And so I've really enjoyed the evolution of this series. They have taken me on a ride for four seasons. And now Mike is disappointed by the ending because I'm one behind you on episodes before I've got the last two to get to.
I still have the last episode, and I'm going to do my best to not give away spoilers because I know people are watching this show at their own pace, especially with the playoffs going on. But this is one of my favorite shows ever. I was so looking forward to the second half of the final season, and I think this second half is where the show is starting to jump the shark for me. I do not find it believable that several people who have felt in painstaking details and ways the grip of the cartel, and yet there's a lot of tough talk. What are they going to do to me? Didn't you just lose so-and-so? And all of a sudden, a cold gun gets pressed to their heads. And then it all crashes down on them. Oh, I shouldn't have messed with the cartel. It's truly unbelievable. These people know the consequences.
Well, but wait. If you handle this stuff subtly and well, whether it's Breaking Bad, it's not like he didn't know the consequences of what Walter White didn't know. But at the end, with the best of these shows, whether it's The Wire, The Shield, any of the Sopranos, it builds up to a place where it's coming at you from so many different angles and storylines that you're like, well, how are they going to wrap this up? How are they going to tie it? There are a lot of loose ends here to tap over 2 hours. They've got two episodes to do it here. And there's a degree of difficulty in nailing the landing. Breaking Bad is an eternal show because they did. The Sopranos, a controversial one, but they tried art with the landing point. So they've got two episodes to figure it out.
The Last Dance nailed it.
But it's just cheesy.
Hit that the jumper.
That they're being reminded of murder as if it was something that they forgot entering any conversation. And they're like, oh, really? Do you remember that murder? Oh, you're right about that murder that I just forgot about reminded.
They're not giving you enough subtlety here at the end?
No, it's just like the world is crashing in on everybody and we're turning up the volume on all of it, that it is patently unbelievable that they are forgetting what has just happened to them.
Do you actually hear that gasp? Like,
it's kind of like that.
Really?
Yeah. It's
like a cartoon, like Scooby-Doo?
The characters are starting to become caricatures of themselves a little bit. And that's fine, too. With some respect, I kind of sign up for mopey Jason Bateman. I want to see mopey Jason Bateman.
Well, but wait. On Jason Bateman, I thought this is uncharacteristic restraint, even from a restrained actor, that he's trying to do. Like, he is a director here. I saw that... Yeah, he's a director and a writer on some of this stuff. Like, this is an ambitious creative project for him with Netflix when he can make his choices artistically. Now, he's golden, whether it's podcast world, whether it's art world, he's allowed to make things because of the success of this.
There are also puzzling decisions that shouldn't be decisions that they come up with. Hey, would you like to get the most infamous cartel leader out of prison or reinstate this cop? You only have one ask. You only have one. I'm only doing one. Choose wisely. Which one is harder for you? You know what? I'm going to take reinstating the cop and make my life a living hell for the next three episodes and completely undo myself at every turn.
You don't think
it is beyond bonkers, the logic of the second half of the season.
So you don't think that what they're trying to show you is that this couple of people can navigate any extremity through the violent drug underworld, through the strength of their bond, but that their family from the insides is going to destroy the entire thing because their marriage is so dysfunctional that they don't have any access to love and that they're going to be undone by their family dynamics, not the cartel's dynamics.
Yeah, but this is not being taught in subtlety. And it was actually the one thing that I appreciated was you finally see Marty Bird's restraint break. And it's a first time all season. Imagine, and I love that. In this show, it was a traffic altercation that did it. And I love things that are actually small in actuality, but become representative of something bigger. And he took all of his rage
in
from all the seasons.
In four seasons, you're seeing displaced anger is the first time he's losing his temper as an actor. The entire role for four seasons, he is understated. No matter what duress he's under, he is stoic every circumstance.
If I were an Ozark apologist, I'd say Wendy is getting off on the challenge. She's dug herself out of so many tight spots that she is now actively trying to make every spot she encounters, no matter how close the finish line may or may not be, even more difficult.
But what is your problem with it? If it's making you think
but
of this,
that's the Ozark apologist explanation. There's no logical explanation for some of the decisions that have been made. And how they've been presented is that it's equal footing. And it's not. They have to be more judicious with this. It's still a great series. I'm still amped to see the finale. I'm disappointed. It almost seemed as though they were right to end it where they should have, and they should have just cut off half a season.
Well, they could have ended it without the spoiler. They could have ended it at when they, spoiler alert, were in Navarro's arms. And the...
But Mike is right. Like, you know, with The Last Dance, they ended it on the jump shot against Utah. They didn't take you into the Washington years. Like, they ended it right there. It was the perfect finish, and that's where they finished, you know? I mean, I'm not going to watch the show now. I mean, I did, you know.
You're saying, Mike, that Ozark should have ended right there when the bird
when Jordan
arrived,
hit the jumper, yeah.
Arrived in the arms of Navarro, and the season ended with blood.
Yeah, and more disappointment, and I don't know how this season ends. I imagine there tends to be a trend of disappointment. I'd be very surprised if there's a happy ending here because people have to atone, especially Wendy. Her behavior's just been...
Yes.
I can't make an excuse for it.
She is the most brutal of killers. Yes.
Yeah.
She is. But this is also why it's, to me, a bit of an inspiring show through as an homage to Breaking Bad and the era of the villain. It's so rarely the woman, Mike, who gets to be the Walter White of, like, oh, she's the most ruthless of all of them.
The two most ruthless, the three
Darlene,
most ruthless.
Darlene is why my nightmares are filled with thoughts of Darlene and her love affair with that 18-year-old boy, Wyatt. My her making sweet love to that boy from all her hardened leather life.
Right. Imagine how Byron Russell feels.
Right now, over the course of this final season, the four most evil, monstrous, cold, calculated characters are all women. And I do like that twist in the show. It's a twist on the Breaking Bad formula, even though that they tried to do that a little bit with Walt's wife and her love affair over the course of time. It just, they keep running into such illogical decisions. And they keep being reminded of such obvious things like, hey, have you considered there's a will? They don't do the gas.
They've got to tie up a bunch of different storylines.
Yeah.
And the grace of an all-time show is whether you do it successfully or not.
You have a character that from the earlier seasons that fled the Ozarks because of how dangerous it was. And comparatively, it wasn't even all that dangerous compared to where things are now. And that person comes back to the Ozark and is surprised at how dangerous it is. Just some of it. It defies logic. I just subscribe that this is an alternate universe where people just forget about consequences altogether and have to be constantly reminded of them.
You're out. No, it's jump the shark.
I'm out as like calling it one of the all-time great series.
He's got to finish it off. He's going to watch the end.
How could you be a jump the shark? How could you be a jump the shark before having even seen the climax of it?
The same thing happened to me with Sons.
He thinks he's already seen the climax of it.
Yeah. So Washington years now, Dan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Leftovers.
I watched. No, Leftovers actually stuck the landing. And even though they had their better season in the past in season two, they stuck the landing.
No, but he means you're watching Leftovers right now. Part that you don't care about.
No, I thought that's what you meant.
I think you're right.
Yeah,
Leftovers,
I do too.
Leftovers sounds such like an ambitious that. Project. I thought Weird. That they were going to take like the classic Lindelof, just bail me out, and ooh, it's ambiguous, and here are all these loose ends, and I'm not going to answer all these impossible questions. But Leftovers, why it's one of my favorite TV series of all time, actually did that to the point that I could understand it. And I wasn't barely understanding anything that I was watching over the course of those seasons. For this one, to me, they had an opportunity in front of them to be in that category with Leftovers, with Breaking Bad. And it just got a little too convoluted, a little too overwritten. And the logic leaps that they took in this final season were too much for me.
Okay, but as a group, all right? B+, Ozark. A-, B+, A-, B+. Let's go. Let's like
Darlene, Ruth, hell of a run. Wendy
hell
Bird,
of a run. Yes.
These are some great crafted... some wonderfully crafted women characters on dramatic television that we haven't really seen.
A-, you might even give it an A.
You want to give it an A. I feel like you want to give it an A.
Plus, I give it an A. It was a joyride. I don't care how they ended it. I enjoyed poor man's Breaking Bad. You don't have to be as perfect. Look, I didn't even think Breaking Bad was perfect. You got half his face was blown off cartoonishly. That's not perfect. That's not a perfect ending.
He was stunned by it.
Spoiler alert.
Well, he didn't say who. We just know.
Just him. I tried to just...
Who stuck the landing? Is it still MASH? I mean...
MASH.
Show ended in the late 70s.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, plus add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day, no contracts to worry about, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.